Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the NASDAQ Dorsey Wright Morning Brief video from July the 2nd, 2021. My name is David Clark, and I'm one of the analysts here at the NASDAQ Dorsey Wright team. And looking at yesterday's action within the confines of many of the equity index charts, and we saw a number of these charts, actually a couple of these charts, improve on their all-time highs that they had made earlier this week. As we've noted, even in yesterday's call, we saw the S&P 500 in a seven-day streak of consecutive all-time highs. It has now made another all-time high with Wednesday's action. So it was able, or pardon me, Thursday's action. So we were able to see this push on up to that 4320 level with yesterday's action. Additionally, on the equity index front, we've seen the Russell 2000 continue to almost kind of keep in step with the S&P 500 by moving up to this 2430 level. This is along with the next chart we'll look at, the NASDAQ composite. The NASDAQ and the Russell have really been kind of in step with the S&P 500 as far as moving up to all-time highs. In the case of the NASDAQ composite, though, we've seen it take a little bit of an exhale after Thursday's action as it pulled back to this 14,440 level. Additionally, within the equity space, we see the Russell 2000 is able to kind of move back into a column of X's. It still is residing on two consecutive sell signals here, though. So yesterday, we noted that the Dow chart had returned to a buy signal, ultimately giving some idea that demand had moved back in control on that chart. But ultimately, when we come over to the Russell 2000 chart, we see two consecutive sell signals from earlier in June. But ultimately, we've not yet seen the index return to a buy signal. It's formed this double top here at 2332, but would really only break the double top there at 2336. So it's something to keep an eye on. If it reverses down from here, it may be further confirmation that we're seeing demand waning from the small cap space. We've seen it somewhat lag and not be able to move up to this, you know, better its all-time highs or even match its all-time highs from earlier this year. But, you know, if it continues to make lower tops and consecutive sell signals, we may be seeing demand waning from the small cap space and supply moving into control there. But that will be something to continue to monitor. At the moment, it's still holding an overall positive trend. And until we start seeing it violate some of these significant levels of support, you know, from April and May and even March, you know, where the story is not going to change too much other than it just seems to be lagging the remainder of the equity indices. Crude oil has been a true bright spot within the markets, especially within the commodity markets over the past few weeks. With yesterday's action, we saw crude move up above that $75 level. As we've noted a couple of times, there is resistance at 76, but then a movement above this. And we're looking back to, you know, trading levels we haven't seen in, you know, almost 7 or 8 years for as far as the crude oil goes. So, you know, continue to monitor this one, this chart. It is worth noting that crude is getting very extended here at 121% overbought. Many things in the overall broader market within the equity indices are, you know, around 30 to 50% overbought in some cases. Crude oil is sitting at 121% overbought at this time. So, you know, if it was something we were looking for exposure to crude, definitely consult the chart of what you're looking to have exposure to. But if it's anywhere near this overbought, it may be wise to wait for either a little bit of an exhale or a pullback or some price consolidation before we look to add to a crude position here, just due to this extended period that we've had as crude has rallied higher. So today, one of the interesting things we noted, now that we've gone over many of the equity indices, actually, let me take a step back here real fast. You know, going over yesterday's action, crude obviously was the big leader in the clubhouse. Russell 2000 helped out and you know, was able to show some improvement after yesterday's actions. From that standpoint, though, pretty much everything was in positive territory. Gold was in positive territory for yesterday's action as well. Now, looking at, you know, within the asset class group scores page here, one of the more notable things oftentimes is we talk about things moving into the four score zone or this blue area or blue sky zone, if you will. You'll hear us refer to that. But it isn't often we look at things that are moving down into this red area. But today we are actually going to do just that, just because we've seen this Japan group move below this two and a half score level. It actually did it earlier in June and has kind of remained around it, gone above it a couple of times and stayed there, but has been trading around the score level since, you know, really kind of the latter part of June. But it's notable because this now brings this chart down to levels we haven't seen. You know, we briefly saw it dive below below that 2.5 score line in August, but ultimately, you know, it was during the throes of the pandemic that we saw this group score well below that 2.5 score line. So we saw some improvement along with the broader market, but really kind of since the beginning of the year and really since February, you've seen this group continue to deteriorate, and ultimately, you know, be something that we would look to avoid within our exposure right now. So it may be something that on a relative basis, you know, Japan exposure is something we would probably look to avoid. Furthering that relative conversation, we've come over to the world ETF matrix, which can be found under security selection and by going to matrix and viewing the popular pre-made matrices. This world ETF matrix is going to be comprised of 47 securities. Really, it's a couple of indices along with a majority of country ETFs that reside within this matrix. The reason we come over here today is, as we were talking about weakness from Japan, we wanted to take a look and find where Japan ranked within these world ETF rankings. And at this time, it sits in this 31st position with 18 buy signals and 12 charts in a column of X's. So when we look at this overall, you know, how is it ranked relative to from a historical standpoint? Well, we look at April and May, and ultimately we've seen this group and Japan fall down in these world ETF matrix rankings since April. You know, ultimately it's come down to a low point here. It actually fell to that 32 level. It kind of rebounded back up to 31. But what's interesting is, you know, looking at the overall rankings and the history of the rankings, especially for this Japan ETF, and this is the first time this group has ranked below 30 since February of 2015. So really for a six-year period, we never saw Japan rank below the 30 level. It got close in 2018, but ultimately this is the first time we've seen it rank this low since early 2015. So really it's giving you an idea that relative to other countries within the globe, Japan is showing weakness, and from a longer term perspective, it's showing historic weakness in terms of the fact that we haven't seen it rank this low since that 2015 time period. So when we come over to the chart of the iShares MSCI Japan ETF EWJ, which is the one we were just looking at the matrix ranking for, we see overall that the chart maintains a positive trend, but has been up on a stem that really, you know, began off of the market bottom, moved into a positive trend in April of 2020, and has traded up on the stem. You know, really is consolidated here after it traded up on a stem, but ultimately resigns on a near-term sell signal that it gave there at 66, is reversed back up to your 269. It's not really the trending part of the conversation that's worrisome, if anything. It's the relative part of the conversation. So when we look at, you know, how's it doing relative to other funds within the Japan space, it scores at a 2.17, while the All Japan group is at 2.42. So, you know, it's even scoring lower than the average fund that provides exposure to Japan. So at this time, again, the trending story isn't what really worries us. It's the fact that, you know, on a relative basis, it's just simply lagging other countries within the international equity space. So it'll be something to, you know, to continue to monitor. If this is a position or exposure you may hold within a strategy that you're running, you may continue to hold it and just treat it on a, you know, on its own trending characteristics. If it breaks down, you may look to step away. But ultimately, it is showing already, and it has now for really almost 3 months, that it is a relative weak play as far as having this Japan ETF within an overall country exposure. So something to keep in mind. And, you know, as we move forward into the new quarter, if we need to rotate out of something, this might be within our international equity exposure, something we might look to rotate out of. But if you should have any questions about, you know, what you think about your portfolio right now, or particular position or the like, or anything contained in this video, as always, feel free to call the Dorsey Wright analyst team at 804-320-8511. Hope everyone has a wonderful day.